It is customary for us to pause a few moments before we begin, and this affords you the opportunity to use the time for rebound if necessary, and to do whatever is necessary for concentration upon our study this evening. Shall we pray? Father, we are grateful to you for this opportunity to gather here, the privilege of studying your word, and the opportunity to utilize it in our daily lives. And so it's our prayer that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct us as we provide the positive volition, and we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We are at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We have done the first two verses in the segment that we are highlighting in Ephesians 6 at 10 and following, and here's how it sounds so far. From now on, be strong in the Lord through the power of truth in the soul and of His power to execute. That's a mouthful right there. Short sentence, a lot in it. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord through the power of truth. And so you cannot be strong in the Lord unless you have truth as an empowerment to execute the Christian way of life. It must be in the soul, and that would be the cardia, and of His power to execute. And therefore, that is the indwelling power of Christ. Habitually keep yourself dressed for battle as an infantry soldier of God, so that you will have the power to seize and hold your ground against the strategy and the tactics of the devil. That's M-E-T-H-O-D-E-I-A, methodia. And methodia is the word that I'm translating strategy and tactics. Strategy and tactics of the devil. Now, he is the ruler of this world, and you're his enemy, and he will manipulate and control you in any way that he can. He has many tactics to use in order to acquire and fulfill his strategy. So this section of Ephesians 6 is designed to tell us how to deal with the strategy and the tactics. Verse 12, we finished up the other day, because our combat is not against blood and flesh, but rather against general officers, against commissioned officers, against special forces guerrillas and fifth column spies of the dark side, against the demonic rank and file warriors of evil who populate the atmosphere. Now, to be effective in this conflict, the believer must prepare his soul to enter the battlefields of the invisible war. And this takes us to part two of our study, the full armor of God. Now, this is a phrase that we've just noted in verse 11. Therefore, the Lord's army is what we'll call part two. And paragraph A is the Christian warrior's panoply. And this is how you're going to dress your soul. We've dressed the Roman officer. We have noted the various elements within his panoply. We've noted the awards and blessings that come to the Roman warrior when he distinguishes himself on the battlefield. Now, likewise, you have a panoply in your soul, and you can distinguish yourself on the battlefield of the invisible war. You have available to you a spiritual panoply. Now, whether you pick it up and put it on or not, it's what we're going to note in our study. But within the context here, beginning at verse 13, there is a challenge to the believer. We have an imperative mood to pick up and put on this armor. Now, there are things that can distract you and keep you from doing that. You're saved, no question about that. But you're a loser in the invisible war. The reason is you won't pick up the panoply and put it on. And that's the strategy and the tactics of the devil that lead to that sorry end. So let's get started. Point one. Believers are to dress their souls in a spiritual panoply that is described by Paul in Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 17. And this panoply is made up of six items that illustrate six doctrines. So we will note through those few verses this panoply and how it is defined in a spiritual way. He will take an implement of the Roman warrior's panoply, and then he'll compare that to some spiritual concept. And these spiritual concepts must ultimately dress the soul. And this is a volitional decision that is undertaken by the person in spiritual sophistication. The rookie believer can make some progress in this, but you must be in the sophisticated spiritual life in order to accomplish it. Because there's so many strategies and tactics of the devil that confront us, there are so few who have their souls dressed in this panoply. And so we will examine these by means of exegesis, the only real way to move through a passage. We'll do it verse by verse and observe along the way how each one assists the believer in protecting his soul from the things Paul mentions in verses 10 through 13. These are designed to make the believer able to do certain things. First of all, to have the power to seize and hold his ground against the strategy and the tactics of the devil. That's the first thing that this passage is designed to do. He has strategy and tactics. You confront them on a daily basis. It's intrinsic with your sinful nature and how he plays you, and it's extrinsic with the incoming data that comes from so many different sources today. Externally and internally, you are manipulated by the strategy and the tactics of the devil. Now, this passage is designed for you to be able to defend yourself against that. And many of you here are not able to do that. Now, to have the power to seize and hold your ground against the strategy and the tactics of the devil is the first thing. That's verse 11. Secondly, you have to understand that you're not battling primarily against blood and flesh. That's verse 12, first part. But three, against the general officers, etc., that we've just noted in verse 12b. Therefore, you are going to be given a process and procedure of dressing your soul. Now, to accomplish these objectives, the believer must take up the full armor of God. This is verse 13a, and it sets us off on this particular section of this mighty chapter here. It introduces us to Paul's summary. It's a summary verse of what we're about to engage here. Ephesians 6:13 in the New American Standard. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Take up the full armor of God. It's imperative mood, as we will note. And if you're ordered to pick something up and put it on, it means you presently are not wearing it. Therefore, you need to be able to resist the evil day. What's the evil day? Right now, tomorrow, the day after that, the next 4 years. Evil days. You're going to be assaulted internally and externally. This happens to you every day. That's the evil day being noted. You cannot avoid this, and you are going to confront it tomorrow and the day following, as you did yesterday and the day before. Therefore, you have to know how to prepare your soul. Now, this verse begins with a preposition dia, translated because, not therefore. Because goes back to the other three verses we just noted. Verses 10, 11, and 12. You go through that, and then once you get through that, why do you need to do these things? Because. And it is followed by the demonstrative pronoun houtos, translated this, because of this. Well, what's the this? Let's go back to verse 12. Because our combat is not against blood and flesh, but against. Because of this, because of that opposition, that leads off the verse. And so this is the purpose of what Paul covered in verse 12. Our combat is not against things visible. Although people are visible, systems are visible, thought isn't, but thought emanates into our data processing unit from certain sources. It has to be incoming data before you can think about it. And it is thought that leads to decision and decision that leads to action. Therefore, there are emissaries out there that feed data into your soul for you to analyze. You can respond to it or react to it. Therefore, we have the momentum tests involved here. Thought, people, systems, even disaster. And surrounding all of that, that God permits us to face in this life as believers, surrounding all of that, is demon influence, and in some cases you confront those who are demon-possessed. Who knows the difference? So here's the purpose. The purpose of what Paul covered in verse 12, our combat is not against things visible. It is against the invisible demonic assault armies described by table of organization. And we've been through that throughout the book of Ephesians. I backed up from chapter 6 and went all the way back to chapter 1 in order to show you that this concept of the invisible war and the demonic order, table of organization, was replete throughout the book of Ephesians. And I started in one occasion back in Matthew and systematically went through Revelation, bringing out passages that show you the dark side of the demonic army. This is real, it is active, it is present, and it is in your face. The more we dig deeper in the present administration and the reaction that the people of this country have to what is going on, we're going to see a lot of demonically influenced activity. Now, look, the problems we face nationally are bad enough. The problems we face nationally because of a loss of thought among a majority of the population in this country, that's bad enough. But the loss of thought here, that is something that is inexcusable. And we need to be ready to fight this war, and we can't do it because we're at war here. And that will be my subject for the next 4 hours. And it's going to be me or y'all. Somebody is going to straighten out, or this church is done. And the challenges of the believer's normal day involve thought, system, people, and sometimes disaster testing. But there are the visible expressions of the invisible complex that continuously rages around us. And that invisible conflict is thought that comes in to us to analyze, and that thought can be a lie. It can be deception. It can be truth wrapped up around a lie. And people take it and they move with it and they make decisions off of it and they ruin people. And that involves the strategy and the tactics of the devil. Although the human experience is obviously pitted against blood and flesh, that's obvious, these are not the primary enemies. These circumstances are influenced in one way or another by demon influence at best and demon possession at worst. Now, for this kind of warfare, our souls need a wardrobe. All of you have brought a wardrobe of one description or another here this evening. You've dressed up and you look fairly nice for the middle of the week. On Sunday, some of you really spiff up. But we all have got on a wardrobe. That's for the body. But I'm telling you, some of you are walking around naked in your souls. Naked as a jaybird. You need a wardrobe. It's designed to withstand the assaults of the dark side. And if you do not have this wardrobe adorning your soul, especially the cardia, then you are an emissary of the dark side. To dress our souls, we have to produce action of taking up the full armor of God. Now, to do this, one must be in fellowship with God through rebound. We did that a while ago, but are you still in fellowship? What good does it do to rebound? We had a big debate about this, I guess a couple of years ago, where we took up this thesis that you can be so involved in sin, name the sin, it doesn't matter, so involved in sin that rebound doesn't work. Do you remember that thesis? And I got red in the face about it. rebound works, oh, for as much as 10 to 15 seconds. And then because of something that's gnawing on your soul, you cannot stay in fellowship, and we're going to examine a passage that will tell you why. And I've taught it before, and I've referenced it several other times. We're going to do it again because you didn't get it. And because you didn't get it, I have to fool with crap. To do this, one must be in fellowship with God. And therefore, in order to be able to get along with other people, with the ones you see and deal with every day, you have to have fellowship with them. Now, let's take a look at my little guys here. Now, I don't have little... my children used to have a game that had little people like this. I don't remember the name of that thing. That was so long ago. But Paul Davey did this for me, and he must have gotten this from Connor or Gracie. I don't know. But this is supposed to be a guy, and this is a lady over here. Now, note this: the inverted triangle represents the Trinity. There's a whole theology behind our church's logo, but we won't get into that tonight. But the inverted triangle represents the Trinity. And notice here the relationship between these two people. Christian fellowship does not occur directly between two believers. That Christian fellowship does not occur directly between two believers. It can't happen. Not Christian fellowship. Let's go to the next one. As believers, we establish fellowship with the Father in Christ. That's rebound. Fellowship is established there. And so there's relationship between you and the Father. That's in fellowship is what we used to call it back in my Campus Crusade for Christ days. You're in fellowship when you confess your sins. Not only are you in fellowship with God, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so you're in fellowship with God. And therefore, you at that point may now have a relationship with others. But it has to be routed through fellowship with God. If you can't stay in fellowship, you can't have a relationship with other people. Not Christian fellowship. So fellowship among believers is not based on person-to-person relationship, but on having fellowship with God. So you, in order to have fellowship, Fred with Alice here, you have to go through fellowship with God. She has to be in fellowship, he has to be in fellowship, and therefore they have fellowship. And then that's just a one-on-one situation. How about an entire group of people? If those in the church are to have fellowship with one another, they can only do so when they're in fellowship with God. And this would be a group of people, like family, family reunion. How's that going to come out? Well, family reunion, group of people get together for some kind of social occasion. Are they going to have a knockdown dragout before it's over? Not if they stay in fellowship. How about a church? How about an organization? A Christian organization. This is the scenario for people being able to start from a foundation upon which they can have a sane relationship. Otherwise, it can't occur. Now, is this something new to anybody here? This is basic stuff. Maybe I should teach the basics again. What is this, 17? My dad told me to say hello to the 17 this evening. Hello. We would clear the room, but that's probably what everybody needs again. The simple basics. You've lost it. This congregation is needed and necessary at this moment in our nation's history. And I swear to you, we're going to have to get some soldiers in here. Mark Davies coming back next month. I don't know when Mike Weber's coming back. We may have to have somebody line everybody up in ranks and do some basic drills, probably out on the hill. Verb here is the aorist active imperative of ana lambano. To take up to oneself a personal or material object. To go back, my little diatribe, therefore take up. That's the word. analambano, to take up to oneself a personal material object. The material object here exemplifies or illustrates the invisible armor. The active voice indicates that this must be a willing, volitional decision on the part of the Christian warrior. Volition comes into this. A willing, volitional decision. We amplify that in a moment. In this verse, and later in verse 16, we have the technical use of the word for the putting on of weapons, an action adopted from military jargon. This is a military term here. Pick up and put on. And it would be the panoply. Now, we took the time to observe how the Roman soldier systematically put on his panoply. Likewise for the Christian soldier. But the act must be volitional, and therefore people are not putting on the armor. Now, we're going to find out this is a mandate. It's going to be a mandate. You're ordered to do it, but you're not doing it. So what does that leave you? That leaves you in wrongdoing. No hope here. No hope. This is basic. And you are not going to progress one square foot unless you get a very simple, basic concept down. You cannot obey imperative moods out of fellowship because you won't. So we took the time to observe how the Roman soldier systematically put on his panoply, and likewise for the Christian soldier, but the act has to be volitional. Now, the verb is a constative aorist. It contemplates the action of putting one's spiritual armor in its entirety and gathers it into a single whole. In other words, the completed act is what's emphasized. Pick up and put on and complete the process. And when the believer's soul is at ease, you're hopefully we're at ease now, his panoply is not in place. In other words, the sophisticated believer does not have to be in code red all the time. He's got the armor available and he knows how to wear it. But he's not in code red all the time. Hopefully when you go home at night, you prop up and you're going to watch 24. Of course, you sort of want to put on your armor for that. You're going to watch 24. God help us get to April and we'll watch a little baseball. And things of that nature. You come in, you sit down in your easy chair, you read the paper, you watch a little bit of TV, you read a book, you tend to things around the house, and there is no concern that you're going to be attacked anywhere. And so your panoply doesn't have to be on. You can take it off for a minute. You don't have to have the shield up. Who's going to attack you in your own home? Your home's your castle, allegedly. But when something occurs, you have to have an instant reaction force available in your soul to put the panoply on within a heartbeat. Now, the Roman guy had to pick this stuff up, strap his belt on, had to put his helmet on, his breastplate, his boots, get his sword and so on, had to do all of this. And I'm sure that took several minutes. I'm sure they were very good at getting it done in a hurry, but it took several minutes. You can lay your shield down. You can unbuckle the sword, etc., etc. But you have to have the capacity and the ability to get it back on within a heartbeat. Are you alert enough to do that? And do you have an armor to put on? The active voice requires the believer to be alert and prepared to assume code red on a moment's notice. The believer must be prepared to instantly dress his soul in full panoply. We all get lax, relaxed, our defenses are down, and sometimes we get surprised. And after the thing's over, we'll slap our forehead and say, "Why'd I do that? Why'd I say that? Why'd I go there?" And, you know, we just didn't get the armor up in time. We all do that. But you don't need to go day after day after day after day after day being challenged by the dark side and being ruined every single time. To do this, therefore, there must be a panoply in the cardia. If there's not one there, you can't put it on. must be immediately available to pick up and put on. And this action is commanded by the imperative mood and is translated because of the demonic enemy, pick up and put on. Now, there's an imperative mood. This is one of the mandates of Scripture. And if you don't make progress toward fulfilling this mandate, then you're in the wrongdoing, not to mention the sin that goes with it. Lots of people think sin is fornication and dipping snuff and going with girls that do. The lascivious things, that's sin to most people. But I'm telling you what a sin is. A sin is not obeying the mandates of Scripture. You love me, keep my commandments. That's Christ's mandate to all of us, and it summarizes our duty toward Him. Once you learn of a mandate, it's your obligation to keep it. And He says, pick up and put on. That doesn't mean that you can pick up and put on this armor instantly. It does mean that you are to continue a process of spiritual growth that will take you to the sophisticated spiritual life, so that at that point you wear that armor and you can instantly pick it up and put it on because it is there to do. And until you get to that level of spiritual awareness and of spiritual growth, you do not have a full armor to put on, and you are vulnerable. And your vulnerability affects others. Now, the direct object is the word that describes the six items that dress the believer's soul. It's panoplia, the heavy equipment of the active duty foot soldier. Now, we've studied this enough to just use the English derivation, the word panoply. It's in your dictionary, defined as a full suit of armor. And so we'll call it a panoply from this time on. That's the English word, and obviously it is taken almost letter for letter from the Greek. Now, the act of taking up one's spiritual panoply refers to the consistent daily study of the Word of God, so that these items are readily available in the soul for picking up and putting on. And so behind this mandate is the concept of spiritual growth and consistent Bible study, so that these things can be accomplished in due time. And the more you make yourself available to the Word of God, the quicker you will be able to array yourself in this panoply. And to skip Bible class, or to be out of fellowship during Bible class, or to skip Bible class, or to turn on the computer, and because you've had too many St. Louis holy waters, you can't concentrate. Whatever it is you do when you perch yourself up behind your computer out there in computer land. You having a sandwich right now? What are you doing? Well, it's been a hard day and I was trying to eat something. Oh, sure. Far be it for me to say that you need to fast, but at least you could put it off an hour. What are you drinking? Somebody out there just put a glass down. Next, we have the introduction of a purpose clause. Purpose clause now. What's the purpose? The conjunction hina, translated in order that, followed by the aorist passive subjunctive of the verb dunamai, to be able or to be capable of. All right. I want to flip through here somewhere to a translation. I want you to make sure you know where we are in this. Because of the angelic conflict, good way to describe it, because of this, I take this, go back a few verses, we're talking angelic conflict. Because of the angelic conflict, pick up and put on the full armor of God for the purpose that, see, there's got to be a purpose for doing that you might have the ability and the capacity, etc. All right, we are at the words ability and capacity from the word dunamai. The translation of this context is you might have the ability or you might have the capacity. And each of these words and definitions add substance to the point being made by Paul. Now, I want to take just from Webster's definitions of the word able and capacity. It's defined, able is defined by Webster's, having sufficient power or resources to accomplish an objective. In order to accomplish a certain objective, you must have the power to do it and the resources to do it. And think about some objective that you might follow in the real world, not the invisible world. You know, if you want to get from here to there, and you want to carry something from here to there, you have to be able to do it. Can you walk from here to the end of the block while carrying this? Are you able to do it and you have the capacity to do it? Can you get from here down to the red light? Well, in the spiritual life, the mandate here is to put on the armor. And there's a purpose for doing that, so that you will have the capacity to do what? Handle the strategy and the tactics. Now, the capacity comes from doctrine. If you don't have the doctrine, you're going to be neutralized on a daily basis by whatever the challenges are. Inside, because of your sin nature, or externally, because of momentum test or whatever. You don't have capacity. You can't do this. What if somebody said to me, Joe, look, I'm going to hand you something that's 500 pounds and please take it to the lobby. I don't have the capacity or the ability to do that. And when it comes to you to get through your day, you cannot do it because you do not have the capacity or the ability to do it because you don't have the doctrine necessary to carry it off. Having sufficient power or resources to accomplish an objective, the intelligence, the knowledge, the skill, and the competence. Purpose of putting on spiritual armor is so you will have the ability or the capacity to confront demonic attacks in the area of momentum testing. Now, these things are going to eat your lunch, if they haven't already. The means to achieve this is through the six key words found in the definition of able. Here they are: power, resources, intelligence, knowledge, skill, and competence. That's six. I always have to double check my math. First word here, having sufficient power. What does power mean in the spiritual context? The filling of the Holy Spirit. Got to have that. Oh, I wanted to show you the guy. There's your full panoply. That's the best shot here. This guy looks just a little... I think he's going to a costume party, frankly. But this is a better looking fellow over here. Okay, let's take a look at this. You know the top circle. We're emphasizing the bottom circle here. The power for doing this comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the initial power pack that is imperative for any kind of spiritual function. And so that is the bottom circle. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's temporal, of course, because you are going to sin if you're not sinning now. You're walking in the light when filled with the Spirit. It is status quo spirituality. But when you sin, personally, it puts you out here and you're walking in darkness in status quo carnality and will remain there until you confess the sin and the wrongdoing will be covered. You confess the sin, the wrongdoing and it are covered. You come back into fellowship for 10 to 15 seconds because you can't get off your mind the issue that is gnawing at your gut. And it's alive and it is well. And it's getting bigger and stronger and more, let's say, influential. And therefore, it moves into other sins that we will see later in our study. And you've created a monster in your soul, and you cannot kill it because you're in love with it. And that keeps you over here 99% of the time. How are you going to put on the armor? We're talking the first thing here. You got the power. Then there are the resources. After you get the filling of the Spirit, what are your resources? Where do you go for resource? The canon of Scripture and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is a diagram you've never seen because I used it down at Coosa River. But you'll note the Bible right here. And this is a series of lessons that I taught down in Birmingham, Coosa River Bible Church, on Romans 5:3-5. Let me read those verses to you out of the New American Standard. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. You run into momentum testing and you bear up. You already exult in that. Why? We exult in our tribulations knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. You can grow in grace under momentum testing. You can respond to the challenge that God obviously had in the decree, or you can react to it. But right here, he's talking about responding. Respond to the challenge rather than go into reversionism. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character confidence. And confidence does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts, cardia, through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. One of the 39 permanent things given at salvation. Now here's the Bible. That's where you get the data, the incoming data to feed your soul. And then you face adversity. You have courage before that adversity, real or imagined. Then when you endure it, it's proven character, and therefore you have confident expectation. In the cardia stream of consciousness, this confident expectation is an inventory of experiences that occurred during a trying time. It was unfair, it was unjust, it was uncalled for, but you faced up to it. And because of that, you have gained an inventory of ideas to face these challenges again. And it moves down into the cardia of the stream of consciousness. And from that, you are able to execute true love that is expressed through esprit de corps, harmonious rapport, exoterike harmonia with your fellow believer. Or you can choose to go into reversionism over it. Resources. Canon of Scripture and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Intelligence. Well, you have to have a spiritual IQ. You can't do this with a human IQ. And you stay out of fellowship all the time. You analyze the incoming data with a human thought process. Can't do that. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 explains that his spiritual things are communicated through a spiritual system. Therefore, the filling of the Holy Spirit makes it possible if you understand infinite thought right out of the throne room. Without the filling, it's just like studying literature. And that's where that apparently is what most people have taken away from this room. It's like coming and studying Shakespeare or Milton or somebody. We've gone to a literature class. And you quote back, you know, I was forced to learn some Shakespeare when I was in high school. Did you? I was forced to memorize some Chaucer. I can quote it back to you. I can quote back to you the preamble, I think it's called, to Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, and it's in that screwy English, and I don't even know what it means. But, oh, I can quote it back with the commas. And people leave here, and they can quote the verse, they can quote the doctrines, they can give you the references, but when something occurs in their life that somehow gives them pause, they completely forget about it and move into the cosmic system. So we've got our four spiritual mechanics here that will help highlight some of this. Intelligence, a spiritual IQ. The filling of the Holy Spirit plus human IQ equals spiritual IQ. I hope you can see this. That looks pretty good. Filling of the Holy Spirit is accomplished through rebound. That's human IQ. You bring that to class. Some of you just above room temperature. But I knew a woman one time. Let me say this. There was this lady down in L.A., Lower Alabama. And we had the occasion to talk with this woman on several occasions. And she could hardly carry on a conversation. Her vocabulary is pretty much nil. She had no particular area of expertise. But when you talk the Bible to her, she could talk to you all day long and be very lucid. Which I thought, I sat there in amazement. I'd bring it, what are you doing? I'm going to listen to these tapes here, I'd say. "Oh, are you a student of the Bible?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." So then that started her off. And she could talk to me about the Bible, could have talked all day, I guess. She brought human IQ into the house, but when we broached the subject of spiritual things, she had a spiritual IQ up and functioning. So that's the intelligence factor that you must have. Spiritual IQ is the filling of the Holy Spirit plus the human IQ. That equals spiritual IQ. Now the next one on the docket is knowledge. An inventory of doctrinal ideas interconnected by constellations of wheel tracks. And that's the grace apparatus for perception. Or, shall we say, the spiritual system of learning, and to give it a new name. 1 Corinthians 2:16, I mentioned it a moment ago. No need for me to go through it, I don't guess. All of you have seen it before and you know the drill. But that's the issue here in knowledge. That's how knowledge is acquired. Epinosis right here in the cardia. And it moves down into the cerebral cortex where long-term memory is blazoned on neural pathways, and you have wheel tracks of righteousness available for recall up in the conscious mind so you can make choices. If you don't have knowledge of the Word of God, there's nothing to recall. And, you know, you can get scar tissue on this too. You have the information and then have scar tissue on it because you're out of fellowship so long. You've gone into some kind of cave. And the epinosis here, that's taking a holiday. There's academic understanding may be up and running, but what? There's no application there. Because you can have academic understanding without a pastor and without a Holy Spirit and without a human spirit up and functional. You can get academic understanding at a University of Missouri at the Bible as literature. An inventory of doctrinal ideas interconnected by constellations of wheel tracks. You lay a neural pathway, you have a thought. It is blazoned there by a certain mixture of chemicals that are different and separate from all other thought. That's your filing cabinet. And the next time you get a doctrine, there's a neural pathway that's laid with another mixture of chemicals that identifies it. And after a while, as you grow in grace, these neural pathways begin to interlock. And we did the whole thing, and you've got a collection of doctrines that the neurologists call constellations. And you can think in clusters of doctrines, but only after a long time of moving forward in the plan of God, positive to what is being taught, retaining it in the cardia, moving forward and letting spiritual growth develop the tapestry of the Word of God in your soul. And this is interrupted when people cannot face up to normal challenges of life. Then there's skill. The three spiritual skills, the filling of the Holy Spirit plus gap plus the 10 problem-solving devices equals the protocol plan of God, and that's what you see right here, the three spiritual skills. Now, a skill is something you can do over and over till you get very good at it. Now, you must be skillful at the filling of the Holy Spirit, means consistent use of rebound. You must be skillful at what is called Operation Z here, which is the gap process, so you can grow in grace. But you can't have Operation Z without the filling of the Holy Spirit. So when you come here and you can't stay in fellowship, which most of you are not doing, and not just you, I'm not just railing at you. All of you people out there on the internet right now that come to this church, I'm talking to you. All of you people who are not getting this, and you've gone to war with each other, and I'm fed up with it. You can't come in this room here without the filling of the Holy Spirit or the ability to maintain it and expect to advance with an accumulation of doctrine that will enable you to solve the problems you're facing that you can't resolve. But if you're able to do it, you can produce the protocol plan of God and you can honor Christ and serve God, which is why you're left alive, for Pete's sakes. You're left alive in order to accomplish the objective of serving God, and you're serving your own emotions And that's all you're interested in is you. Next, we have competence. Got to be competent at it. Having the capacity to function. What if at 17 you went out for football or baseball at high school? Remember those days? And you go out there and you find out that you just don't have the competence for this. Now, look, everybody's trying to get on board now with all being equal. And we'll explain why we have to be equal in this study. Well, look, I learned at an early age that all men were not created equal. I went out for football, and I weighed 125 pounds. And at one point along the way, I wound up underneath Jim Colley. And I found out right then, men were not created equal. He liked to have squashed me to death. He was the biggest man in our class, and I was a Joe sandwich. Him on one side and planet Earth on the other. I didn't have the competence for that. That was not for me. You know, you get a little guy, you need to go to a little guy sport, somewhere the little guys can play. Don't have the capacity. All right, when you get into this ball game here, and you are a believer in Christ, and therefore you become an enemy of the dark side, you're so easily manipulated and controlled that it is almost laughable. You don't have any capacity for the invisible war. So you're eaten alive by it. So that brings us, the competence factor brings us over here. That's where you're headed. You need to be sophisticated. And only in the sophisticated spiritual life can you get the armor on. Down here, in the other areas of the spiritual growth, spiritual childhood, spiritual adolescence, spiritual infancy, you don't get the full armor going there. And so I'm telling you people, you need to work toward getting the armor on. It is embarrassing to me the way things are going in this church. We got a new church here, for Pete's sake. Not even a year old. Gossip, maligning, judging, bitterness, cliques. See, how do I know that? Because I was in one. You're looking at a veteran here. I was in one, and I know one when I see it. And I'm gonna fix it right here from this pulpit. Because other efforts have failed. Second word by which dunamai is defined is capacity. And we have this definition from Webster's. An individual's mental or physical ability, the facility or power to produce, perform, or deploy. Produce, perform, deploy. This word brings out the combination of human free will plus the power of the Holy Spirit, resulting in application under pressure to the circumstances imposed by the dark side. Capacity. The combination of human free will, that's your volition, plus the power of the Holy Spirit, resulting in application under pressure to the circumstances imposed by the dark side. Oh, play in that ballpark, huh? Well, in order to keep out of that arena, you've got to be able to produce and perform and deploy. So let's go with that. To produce, it means to bring out by intellectual effort under pressure. The believer must reference his inventory and produce pertinent doctrines for the situation. That's a way to describe wisdom. Now, I tried to use all of the gizmos. Is Matt here? Matt, let me just tell you that Paul got on the phone the other day and he showed me a little gizmo that you could take and draw around here with a little line and then make this other go away and then hit another button and all of this blows up. And I tried that. I spent 30 minutes on it. And then finally I said, I'm through with that. And I'm just hoping you can see this. Now, I don't really think that's what I want. There must be another one in here somewhere. Try another one. Ah, that's the one I want right there. See, I tried to carve this out. Yeah, this one. Wisdom right here. See that? We're looking at wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? I like to sort of net things out for you. And you grow in grace and you get all this doctrine. And then you have a circumstance and you need to deal with it. And, of course, you're going to deal with it with the Word of God, right? Let's hope. But you've got these doctrines that are stored in the cardia. And the question arises in your soul. Here's circumstance A. What am I going to do? And you've got, well, the Holy Spirit ought to bring to my mind something here. And you've got this whole cluster of information available to you. And the question arises, which doctrine goes here right now and which one would go later on and which one really doesn't apply? You go through a process of learning how to use doctrine as you grow in grace. Circumstance hits you, you apply doctrine, find out, whoa, that wasn't the right one. And then you back off. The next time a similar circumstance hits, you realize, oh, I get it now. I really should have used doctrine B. And you apply that and it works. This was effective in resolving that particular issue. And so then as you move through life, every time that situation comes up again, you know what to do. That's called wisdom. Those that don't have wisdom are just shooting blind, like a shotgun deal. I know what I'll do. I'll just shoot all of them at that situation. Boom! And all it goes, just splatters a big pattern up there. Everybody gets hurt and bleeding, and only one of them are really meant to go that day, but the others overwhelmed it. Or didn't shoot at all. To bring out by intellectual effort under pressure, the believer must reference his inventory and produce pertinent doctrines for the situation. Perform. To carry out an action or pattern of behavior. Wisdom advises the believer's free will of what to do and how to do it in accordance with the protocol plan of God. You've identified the doctrine. Wisdom now advises the volition. Pull this trigger. See that? You've got the production into the soul. Wisdom spits it out. You pull the trigger. That's performance. And then the volitional decision pulls the trigger. You have performed the act now because volition produces action. Then you deploy. To place in battle formation. Deployment of the 10 problem-solving devices on the front line of the soul, which is application of doctrine to circumstances, and that's what is occurring over here, and you see the arrow. The doctrine runs through this system here. It's analyzed. It is stored. It is retained in memory center, etc. Finally, wisdom gets very efficient, and you face the circumstance you faced before, and you know how to handle it, and when you make the volitional decision to pull that trigger, then you've got the problem-solving device that has been identified, and you fired at the problem. And that's deployment right out on the front line. Now, defining the words able and capable provides linguistic impact to the definition of dunamai. The purpose of putting on the spiritual panoply is so that you will have the ability and the capacity to withstand demonic influence. Where are the sources of demonic influence? I don't have my little guy with me tonight. But it is intrinsic, it is extrinsic. The old sin nature is manipulated by the dark side, and you're willing to go with that, and your sin nature gets you in big trouble, and you decide to stand up for it. I'm standing up for my sin nature, buddy. Or it's extrinsic. Incoming data convinces you of something, and you go with that. All of us face this every day of our lives, and we are losing. This church can't be a loser. Not after 24 years. How embarrassing. The purpose of putting on the spiritual panoply is so that you will have the ability and the capacity to withstand demonic influence. Personal problems. Why do you have arguments and get angry and get into self-pity and bitterness and rancor? Well, you don't deploy because you can't deploy because you've got nothing to deploy because you are out of fellowship. And been that way long enough of where heels have been dug in, and it's not going to change, and I'm going to raise hell till it does. Some of you have so submitted to demonic influence that you are frozen in an implacable mindset that has neutralized you in the angelic conflict and destroyed your spiritual life. Destroyed it and affected others negatively, horribly. If you have no power, you have no ability or the capacity to deploy problem-solving devices, and as a result, you're a casualty in the conflict. A casualty. Bodies are strewn across the landscape. Those whose desire and intent is to serve the Lord are submissive to His mandates and consequently advance to the sophisticated spiritual life and are attired in combat panoply. Those whose desire and intent is to serve the Lord. They must be submissive to His mandates, and we've seen one tonight, pick up and put on the panoply. It's a mandate. You love me, you will keep my commandments. You can't get it on unless you get rid of the problem that's weighing you down so that you can't stay in fellowship long enough to process what is being taught here. You can repeat it back like Bible is literature, but it means nothing to you apparently. Those whose desire and intent is to serve the Lord are submissive to His mandates and consequently advance to the sophisticated spiritual life attired in combat panoply. So far, this is what we have in verse 13. Because of the angelic conflict, pick up and put on the full armor of God for the purpose that you might have the ability, namely the power, the intelligence, the knowledge, the skill, and the competence, and the capacity, including production, performance, and deployment. And next in the passage comes the prepositional phrase to resist, the aorist active infinitive of the verb anthistemi, to set oneself against, to oppose, to withstand, or to resist. And that's where we will resume our study in verse 13 tomorrow evening. Father, we are grateful to You for this opportunity to gather here and to study this passage. It is our prayer we would take seriously the mandate that is found within it and move forward toward the objective that is stated. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.